Hi, guys, and welcome to the Dead by Tomorrow podcast. My name is Daniel Winter, and my co-host is Andrew Monroe. In each episode, Andrew and I will explore topics that you should think about before you die. We encourage you to remember that some tomorrow will be your last, so each day could be your final chance to really live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Dead by Tomorrow. We're, as always, thrilled to have you in here with us. We just finished up our May/Make That Money Challenge. It was pretty fun. It's been a good time. So we're going to go over that over in this episode. And then we also have our next challenge coming up, which I don't know about Daniel, but I'm pretty dang excited about. I think Daniel is too. We've been going back and forth on it for a hot minute the last few days. So let's jump right into it. Daniel, how'd you do with the challenge? Give me the skinny on what you learned and what the end results were for you.
I don't know if I learned a ton of things. I guess I technically learned what it means to bet the spread and some of the rationale behind that. We talked a little bit about that last time around. I guess the numbers tell me that I'm better at sports betting than options betting, but that's probably only limited to the NBA, and the stock market has been just a hot dumpster fire, which, you know, I guess I could have played puts better for that, but the puts are actually where I lost more money than anything else. So finishing out the month, I ended up about $30 in the sports betting world. So, you know, a positive 30%, and then ended up down about $75 in the options world. So I didn't lose all of my money. I didn't have to buy back in, but I did not overall come out profiting.
Hey,
how'd you turn out?
So I did have to buy back in on the sports betting. And it's funny. So this was one of those challenges. I think you and I were actually off by a couple of days. I think you started basically as soon as we finished the two episodes ago. I think you hit the ground running, and then I waited for whatever reason, like 3 or 4 days to start the challenge. So we were like 4 days off, I think, on starting and therefore ending. If I would have ended when you ended, I would have been like $300 up. And I would have said at the time that I failed successfully at this challenge because I was really, really wanting to dig a lot deeper into how, like reading candlestick charts we talked about, and just really get a better financial background on it, learn a lot about sports betting and, you know, learn some of the strategies. I really wanted this to be more educational than not. Did not get to do that, but I was, whenever you finished the challenge, like $300 and something up. And then the next 2 days came through, and I was really trying to stretch it to get that $1,000 mark I wanted to get. And so I took some really heavy losses trying to really multiply that money. And so I ended up technically $31 ahead. So I made $1 a day almost, which I could have just not gotten coffee like 4 or 5 days and made the same amount of money, which I definitely did not do. I had coffee every day this month. So did not learn anything on that front. I did make a couple of Hail Mary bets at the very end. They'll hopefully pay off tomorrow on the last NBA game I'll probably bet on. But as of the end of the challenge, I went from $300 up to $31 in the last 3 days. So that really stunk. It was good. I really enjoyed it. This was an interesting time to be in the stock market because we've had some, at least from what I can tell, some weird swings. Like there were days where I was playing puts, killing it. And then I would just get crushed because the stock market would just explode and just it would go green out the wazoo. And I'd be like, all right, let's play some calls. And I'd play some calls and I would be killing it. And then the market would crash again. And for instance, on that last couple of days, we're talking about Wednesday, Thursday this past week, I had a Netflix and a Lululemon put. And I got banned pretty early on from the day trader status while we were doing this challenge because I thought I was going to swap over to Tastyworks, which is a really cool platform that I do not understand. And so I hadn't been really worrying about Robinhood's thing where like you don't have $25,000 in your account, you can't make more than 5 day trades. So in this case, you know, buying Lululemon as a put, I would have been able to sell before 3 o'clock again. And I would have made like $600 on Thursday, I think. Wednesday or Thursday, with Lulu and Netflix. They tanked. My calls exploded. They were like 400% a piece. It was amazing. I was thrilled. So they went through the roof, but I couldn't sell them because Robinhood's locked me out. And I was like, it's okay. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to sell them. And then I'm going to spin around and get the calls. And so I was like, yeah. Oh, this must have been Thursday morning because the calls didn't work out either. So Thursday morning comes along and market opens and those 400% return on those puts evaporated. It was just gone. Netflix and Lulu shot through the roof. And I was like, well, dang it. So I sold them for a big loss and then spun around and bought the calls. And again, I couldn't trade them same day. So I had to wait till Friday morning to sell the calls. I was like, it's okay. We'll see what happens. So they went through the roof again. And so I was like, okay, we're back even. I was actually up another chunk, like $400, $500. I can't remember. They both just went through the roof. And I was like, okay, this makes up for not getting to sell the puts, but it's fine. Just got to wait till tomorrow morning to sell these since Robinhood's a jerk. So Friday morning, market opened again. They evaporated again. Bull stocks just crashed through the floor. Lost it. So that's where all that money went. It was disappointing and really weird to watch because those were some heavy, heavy swings. Lulu had their earnings come out. Netflix, just for no reason, was doing that kind of stuff. Not no reason, but they shouldn't have been moving that much. So it was pretty interesting, especially for the end of the challenge. But yeah, we got some cool charts. It looks like I was doing well if you look at the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's what I've seen overall with playing options is it is such a critical timing game. And also mm-hmm. it's one of those, like, you got to bring enough money to the table to play with like Netflix and Lulu and Apple and some of these. Because the thing is with options, the more volatile the option, the more expensive it can be. And so the things that are swinging wildly where you can all of the sudden be up like $400, generally there's a little bit of a premium to get in and play that game. And the things that tend to be a little stable and not really move all that much. Yeah, it's not as much money to get in there and play with them, but you're also not going to like double your money in the span of 30 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely is not a cheap game to be able to see this kind of stuff. Move like that. On the sports betting, you and I almost came out. I don't know what you were putting on the line for that last Warriors versus Heat game that we should have had in the bank. But man, I was going to kill it on the sports betting if they would have won that game. I had a whole bunch of stuff going and I just a couple more points. Parlays would have paid off. I think I had a chunk, I'm not sure, maybe $100, which was all I had left in my sports betting, which it was $100 up. So, but I put it all in, didn't work out. And then I got screwed on the Nadal game because the other guy forfeited. And apparently that doesn't count as a win. So I don't know.
The Nadal thing is wild to me.
that really bugged me. For those, check out the chart. I'll give you all the quick highlight. I bet on Nadal beating some guy I hadn't heard of because it's Nadal. And for those of you who don't play tennis or know much about tennis, Nadal has been dominant for years. He's probably not going to be for a few more years. Like he'll start losing some stuff, but right now he is just dominant and he has been for a while. So he's an easy bet. So I bet on him and I made some really weird bets. Like I was like, okay, he's going to win these sets. They're all going to be 7-6 and I made a second bet. I was like, just in case he blows out of the water, he's going to win a set 6-0. And then my third was that he wins the game, period. And he technically won because the other guy forfeited. The first two sets were 7-6 and then 6-6 with Nadal about to win 7-6 again. So I technically, in my mind, should have won all of them because in the third set was a forfeit and he won three sets because it's 3 out of 5. And that would have been 6-0. And so I don't know. However you sliced it, I should have won some money, but they just canceled everything and just refunded me like what I bet. which was really disappointing because basically I just got my money back. So
yeah,
that was a bummer. Should have been able to be at least $100 positive if they would have counted it all as win, but oh well.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing that I learned on the sports betting is it's also kind of tough to have big swings. You got to stick with it a while, or you got to make some wild bets that you get lucky on. Because, I mean, 30% up is not bad. The problem is that I was only, you know, willing to play with $100. If I had been willing to play with like $1,000, then that'd be pretty cool. Or if I was like some, I imagine, professional sports bettors playing with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and I'd be pumped to have had a 30% return in the past month.
But, yeah, and when you compound that, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's one of those, you know, you gotta either be willing to put up a lot of money in order to, you know, make a lot of money, or you just gotta get really, really lucky with these parlay bets. And the thing about those is they're things that could happen, but they zero them in so well that, you know, you're really paying attention the whole time because it's really close to happening. And then a lot of times it doesn't. Like the only player specific bet that I did where I was like, okay, you know, this has like a, you know, I would triple my bet if this hit was I did one that Steph Curry would get a double double in a game against the Mavs. And he was one assist away from getting a double double. So close. Of course, I was like zeroed in on that game. I was super focused because I'm like, he's right there. And, you know, it was the difference of he kind of tweaked his ankle early in the quarter, you know, missed a few minutes that he normally would have played. And also towards the end of the game, it kind of became a little bit more of a blowout. So he didn't play as many minutes, didn't get that last assist.
I want to know who is setting these. We talked about it last episode because they are within like singular happenstance points, it seems, but consistently, like if you're looking at like, hey, if you don't hit it, they win. If you do hit it, you win. They're that one point away consistently that you don't win. Like it's like blackjack hitting a 22 over and over and over again. You're like, this doesn't make sense, but they've got it down. It's bizarre. So that would actually be probably one of the main things I learned was one, really, really try not to hold options overnight. That's been something a lot of people have said, but if you're not playing with the really big money, or playing really long on some options, I mean, that's what most people don't do. Most people with options are playing shorts. So if you're playing the shorts, you don't hold overnight because it just is very unlikely to go your way. And then on the sports betting, do not do the parlay bets. That just bled me dry doing little onesie, twosie, fivesie dollar bets on these parlay bets that every single one of them was a loss. I think I might have won one, but just mind blowing how close almost all of them got for me to still lose. So their statistical analysis is way better than you or I can do on our own.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Is there anything else you want to cover on the money before we get to what is dying to be let out from me, which is our fifth challenge?
That's what's dying to be let out. I was worried about what you were going to say there.
I don't want to know what you're going to, it's probably just going to hurt my feelings.
No, let's get into it. Let's talk the summer games.
Okay. It was your idea, I'm pretty sure. So you introduce it. Give us the rundown. I'll jump in with anything I think needs to be added after you're done.
You know, this whole thing, it's just a classic example of when Andrew and I collaborate and work on something. I think it was summed up most perfectly when I was down the street and I was talking to Brett and he was telling me about y'all's team name, and his wife Angela was standing there, and you know, he needed to give her kind of the full context on why he's coming up with a team name and all of this. And he was like, okay, well, you know, you remember how we did some like push-up challenges and stuff during COVID? Well, you know, we were talking about how that might be fun to do this summer. And then all of a sudden now we have teams and we have team names and we have t-shirts and we have trackers and we have like MVPs and all of this kind of stuff. And it just, you know, it's kind of turned into a whole big thing. And hopefully our crew is in for it. Cause Andrew and I are way excited. But basically what we're doing is for the month of June, we have 4 weeks that we're looking at these different challenges. So we're going to do a step challenge. We're going to do a push-up challenge. We're going to do a mile time challenge. And we're going to do a pull-up challenge. And our challenges are going to be team-based. So my team, it's me and Jason and Jonathan. All been on the podcast before, should be familiar to our listeners. And then Andrew has a team. So it's Andrew and Brett Colton, which we're already ahead because our whole team has been on the podcast. I think your whole team's been on.
Colton was actually supposed to be on almost exactly this time last year. And then it just kept falling through. And here we are a year later. We just haven't pursued it with him.
Fair enough. Maybe we'll get him to come in and do a mid-game update. But so those are our teams. And the way that it's going to work is your team, like for our step challenge, we started this week. So every day you record, you send a screenshot of your steps and whichever team's able to accumulate the most steps by the end of the week wins the point for the week. And the one nuance that we threw in there is that each week the team gets to select one person to be the captain for the week and their score is double. So everybody has to be a captain. There'll be one person that'll get to repeat, but there's a little bit of strategy on, you know, who are you going to pick as your captain? Who's the other team going to pick? Because we don't reveal them until the start of the week. You lock them in. So that's the goal is steps this week. Next week, it's going to be one set max on push-ups. The following week is fastest mile time. And then we're going to close it out with one set max on pull-ups.
Yeah, that's pretty broad brush strokes of it. Just so everybody's aware, basically, Daniel and with my excited participation, we've shanghaied the group of guys we play video games with into, for the most part, play video games with, sorry, Jason, to doing a challenge with us this time. So we took our fifth challenge, which is going to be physical again, because we've been trying to, you know, alternate if y'all are keeping up here. And so we're going to do something physical anyways. And this is probably something Daniel and I would have done anyways. And now it's become some competition. And I'm just, makes me that much more excited for it, honestly. I love it whenever we've got teams going at each other, trying to trash talk. I'm really bad at trash talk, but I'll get there. So it's just a lot more exciting than me just, you know, calling Daniel names as we're competing or challenging each other on something. And, him blasting me back and me having to go back to my room to cry because I don't have a good comeback. So hopefully I'll have some support from the guys on this one.
Yeah, no, I'm excited because we were kind of talking about doing something like when Fitbit kind of became all the rage, a bunch of us got Fitbits and you could do weekly step challenges within the app. And we kind of went a little crazy doing these step challenges. Like I had the building security called on me several times because I would just walk up and down our stairwells in the office in between calls and things like that. And so we went a little crazy on that. Like I mentioned, Brett and Andrew and I did some COVID challenges with push-ups and a few different things like that. And so it's like Andrew said, it's something that we might be doing anyway, but it's fun to do with other people. It's kind of an accountability measure. That was one thing that as we were talking about this, Jonathan mentioned, he was like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we could do something as far as the team goes, because I'd be a lot more motivated to not let the team down. And so, of course, it's fun to do the trash talk. I really want my team to win. I think we're going to totally win. But even if we don't, if, you know, I'm being more active, if Jonathan and Jason are being more active and are able to see some of that benefit, like that would be super cool. That's my goal, is team six pack by the end of the summer.
That's what y'all's name should have been. Also, just so I can make sure it shows up in the show notes, that song you sent me is going to get me through most of the workouts here. The Ninja Archer, it's just the best. So check the show notes for Andrew's latest favorite song that Daniel sent in, because it is phenomenal. Just absolutely amazing. Okay, I was going to ask you, because, you know, we want to talk about what we're going to do for our challenge and how we're going to accomplish it and everything like that. But in the fairness of competition, I won't put you on the spot first. So if you want to give away some secrets after I'm done, feel free. But here is kind of my plan. And just to recap, we've got steps, which started today. So total cumulative step challenges this week. And I am the captain this week. That's the only one that I thought I might have a chance of winning, honestly. So there we are. Is it next week is the push-ups? And then we've got the mile / bike time for the third week. And then the final week of June, we have the pull-ups. So my strategy going forward is I'm going to be obviously walking a lot. I've got Jasper, who is just an unending battery of energy. So might as well take him on some more walks. But while that's going on this week, I'm going to really start ramping up the pull-ups and the push-ups and the runs. And obviously the runs will help my step count and start trying to get a little bit higher volume. We've talked about it a while back, and I don't even remember which episode it was, but there's that grease the wheel, grease the groove mindset from the Russian guy who does all the kettlebell stuff, and he's just crazy, where instead of doing, you know, like a traditional bro 3x10 push-ups, you know, 1 hour a day or something like that, whenever you do in chest, it's like, hey, do 3 or 5 push-ups every hour, on the hour, all the time. And so that's one of their big ways to get pull-ups in and increase your pull-up time. That's like a big part of the book called The Naked Warrior, what a great book title. Like, who doesn't want to be a naked warrior? Okay, that's probably redundant. It's probably just me, but I think it's a great title. So in The Naked Warrior, he talks about it, and that's one of the ways that they advise getting your pull-up game up. So I'm going to be trying to treat that with the miles and the push-ups and the pull-ups and just kind of hopefully be able to recover fast enough and really catch up to really you and Brett, who are blowing me out of the water on the pull-up game. And there's just no chance I'm catching up on the running game, but maybe I can beat Jason and Jonathan. That's the hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's my personal strategy. That's how I set up our team tracker, is putting a space in every single day, whether it's pull-up or push-up week or not, a space to go in and log the push-ups that you're doing, the pull-ups that you're doing, you know, the miles that you're running. The idea would be to try to encourage, hey, like, do this stuff now. Pull-ups is probably the most challenging exercise that we're doing. And I was intentional on putting that at the end of the month, because I would venture a guess that the average person can't do a single pull-up. And so, you know, I don't know where all of our crew is at on that. I know where Brett's at on that. He is far, far beyond the average human. But I don't know where Jonathan's at. I don't know where Jason's at, where Colton's at with the pull-up game. And so if they're in a spot where they can't do one right now, well, there's a pretty decent chance that if they spend some time on it these 3 weeks, 4 weeks leading up until the end of the month, hopefully they can do, you know, at least one or two. And that, again, would be an accomplishment. We our team, like, we want to win. I'm super competitive always. But it would also be really cool if by the end of the month, Jonathan's like, hey, I can do, you know, 5 pull-ups again. I haven't done that since high school. Or maybe he's already doing 5 pull-ups and he's going to do 20. I don't know where everybody's at, but that, you know, that personal progress would be really cool.
No, I like it. That's the hope. So on the pull-ups, I'm just going to give some spoilers here. It sounds like Daniel and Brett are both hitting the 25 plus pull-up mark, which is inhuman. Just mind-boggling. I'm probably closer to the 8 to 10 pull-up range, and that's probably being pretty generous with what counts as a pull-up near the end. So, and it's not the worst I've been, but it's definitely not the best I've been. So that's something I really want to up on. Push-ups, I honestly have no idea where I'm at on the push-ups. We've talked about this before. I've packed on some weight, and that definitely affects a lot of body weight exercises. But we'll see. And then my run time is abysmal. I'm really excited because I've been telling myself for, what, a year and a half now, since I was like, hey, I think I can run again properly. I should really get back into running. And this is to Daniel for the most part. I'm like, hey, looks like I can run on this knee again. I should probably get doing that. And that's been like a year and a half. So I'm really excited about this challenge for working on the run. And I think that will transition into kind of upping my stuff on the pull-ups. And I'm really not worried about the push-ups, but I probably should be just for the fact that I'm not. But yeah, I'm excited. This is exactly the kind of challenge I needed. So I'm pumped. I know Brett is always excited about physical stuff because, again, he's inhuman. And then Colton, this is going to be really good because we were working out together for a while. And I'm not throwing him under the bus or anything, but we're working out for a while. And then his job schedule changed a little bit and he wasn't able to work out with me anymore. And the hope was, or the plan was, he was going to go work out on his own. But from talking with him, I know that's been quite the struggle. He has
it's
really
hard to do
diet.
Stuff on your own.
Oh, it is. it's tough.
Really tough.
It's really hard to be like, hey, I'm tired and it's been a long day. Or, you know, I just woke up because you're doing super early stuff. And it's like, I'm going to by myself go show up somewhere. And I mean, it's almost like going to eat by yourself, which is really hard for a lot of people. But then you also have to then suffer, like actually suffer. You're not going to like have a nice meal at Red Lobster by yourself at the bar. It's, you're like, cool, I'm here. And now I've got to put in work and motivate myself and not cheat the system and all that stuff. It's tough. So he's been doing great on his diet from what he said, but I know he's been kind of struggling on showing up on the physical side. So I think this is going to be great for him too. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm hopeful it'll be something we can continue throughout the summer. And like always, we encourage audience participation. So if you guys are hearing this and you're like, yeah, I can crush push-ups, like send us a text. Let us know what your one set max is. Let us know what you're rocking on pull-ups. If you're hitting crazy mile times, or even if you're not, let us know. We'd love to give you a shout out and let you join in on the summer games fun.
Absolutely. Real quick, before we close this out, we didn't talk about whose team is whose, what our team names were.
Yes. Yeah. So we are Team Thunderclap. That is in honor of our friend Kurt. It's, you know, maybe a little bit in honor of the Hulk as well. But mostly Kurt, which I'm super excited for our team shirts. We've got Kurt calling down the lightning of heaven for a thunderclap as a image on the back. I kind of opted for a little bit of the love and thunder color scheme, text scheme a little bit with the wording on the shirts. So yeah, we're gonna deafen your team with our thunderclap. So hopefully set you up there for your team name.
So when we started before, I guess it was, I don't know if y'all actually picked thunderclap or not yet. Y'all were pretty quick to pull that one out. So props there for y'all's quick decision making. We struggled with a team name and we were going to go with Team No Knees because Brett and I have both had just destroyed our knees at different points. And so we're not happy knee people there. And then Colton hasn't actually done damage officially in any like medically diagnosed way, but he has bad knees. We've talked about it. He doesn't run because of it. A lot of the times we were in the gym together, it was like, yeah, my knees are not going to let me either do this or that or whatever it was. So we've got a team of kneeless men. And so we were, oh, kneeless men would have been a great name too. Dang it. But we decided not to focus on our weaknesses here. And we wanted to be the antithesis to the thunderclap team. So we went with Team Hush. Sounds very intimidating, I think. But that's where we're at, Team Hush. Our shirt admittedly is not as cool. I regret that, and maybe halfway through this, I will make it up to the rest of my team and get us new shirts. But we just have like a, I thought it was going to be funny to have like a really traditional kind of sports looking logo thing that's like, oh, you obviously played for like a local soccer team or something, you know, on the shirt, but it's this goofy bunch of dudes doing push-ups and pull-ups to see who's better. So our team Hush one, I'll try and throw a picture up in the show notes alongside Daniel's. Maybe we'll get some real pictures of us wearing the shirts, and that'll even be better to put in the update episode. I know mine are still like a week out because Printful, which is the platform I think Daniel and I both use to get the shirts made, it just sometimes takes like 3 to 5 or 7 days for ships to for the shirts to ship, because that's what print on demand does sometimes. If you don't have the design already pre-created and printed on shirts, I'm not sure how it works, but yeah, pretty excited about it, about Team Hush and the name. I think it's going to strike fear into you loud boys' hearts.
Us loud boys.
Do you see the irony there? Because I'm usually the loud one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is ironic. I do have to point out that your team is a reaction to our team. So, I mean, you're already on your back foot. From the very beginning.
It's a reaction, just like nuclear fission? Nuclear fission, well, I think, is the one I'm going for.
Hey, you tried. It's okay.
Yeah, y'all split an atom, but we're bringing that reactionary process to you. You guys thought you were a thunderclap, but we're just going to deaden it. There's not going to be anything there but a little sizzle. Well, all right, guys, we appreciate y'all sticking in. Daniel and I might go at each other for a couple more hours after the episode's over, so we won't make you listen to that unless you really, really want to. You can reach out and we'll shoot you screenshots or something. But until then, we should have another episode for you updating how the challenge is actually going sometime mid-June. So keep your eyes peeled. Send over your thoughts on push-ups, pull-ups, running, and getting a lot of steps in. And we look forward to connecting with you guys soon. Have a good one.